Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Content warning. This episode contains graphic discussions of physical and sexual abuse, including child sexual abuse. Listener discretion is advised. He appeared out of nowhere, a college dropout suddenly managing money for the world's wealthiest people, with friends in the highest corridors of power. How does that happen? And what does it cost? This week's episode is Jeffrey Epstein, Foreign Intelligence Asset.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Well, this motherfucker had his hands literally in everything and everyone.
I mean, it's crazy when you're like, oh, you don't even serve one single country. Like, you're willing to do whatever for whomever.
That's a dangerous person that has zero scruples and will get paid by whoever. It doesn't matter who they're working for. They just want money, power, knowledge, etc.
Mm-hmm. Like, what benefits me and how can I get my claws in it? Someone, one commentator I was reading, made the very kind of stripped down claim, but this isn't your average pervert, right? This isn't your average, you know, like someone goes, this isn't just some guy who was kind of like into this horrific perverted stuff. No, this is a person who was manipulating human bodies in various ways for financial gains. At the end of the day, it was for, probably he also liked it, you know, the honey part of the operation, but really the mass money is probably what did it.
I mean, I think his own personal perversions played a huge part in it, because what kind of money or power is he getting from little girls? You know, they're just serving his purpose. But definitely to have information, video of people, high-powered people in compromising situations, and then you kind of own them. And when you do that every single place you go, then you've got a bunch of people that are in your web of deceit.
That's a good way to put
it. Stretches far and wide.
It is a sticky web of deceit, too, because I feel like it really has gotten so many people ensnared in it. Even, you know, we say someone's in the files. That doesn't necessarily mean they're a pedophile. Certainly not. But it might mean that they are completely happy doing business with pedophiles and abiding the pedophilic behavior. And you start to get like an onion, right? It's like the middle part of it's the worst people, and then a little bit out and a little bit out and a little bit out. And it's like, if you're in the files, other than like an email forward, someone talking about you, I feel like you've got the stank on you. Like, you're one of those. You're one of the people that are fine with it. You know, it's like, well, I didn't rape any kids to get this information, but I did get the information from a guy that rapes kids, and that's how he gets the information. But that's fine with me. But I don't rape kids, though. It's like, sounds like you're fine with it, though.
Yeah, or being willfully or intentionally ignorant to the whole thing of, oh, I didn't know he was doing that. Or, I mean, I never saw it. Okay. But anybody within even just like meeting him once, like shit was going on all the time. It's not like you just went over to his townhouse in Manhattan and had like a normal lunch. You know, there's something people that would do business with him on some level knew what he was about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the people he was doing business with were the upper echelon bajillionaires. Like you say, he's not having your average everyday meeting. It's like, so should we go ahead and infiltrate this place, or should we go ahead and bomb this other place? And if so, mm-hmm. what technology can we use? He's like, I got a guy for you. So I think we will take you through his career in intelligence. And you, like I said, he definitely, I mean, he worked with a lot of pretty much anybody that would work with him, it seems like. And
yeah.
Weird to think, although I guess it's just ignorant as me, a non-spy, to be like, there's just like spies all the time out,
a lot of them
fucking doing spy shit. And this, the an agent who like works for the FBI, who like reports to somebody, there are those, but there's also just these assets where you're like mm-hmm. a business guy and you kind of got this like elbow rub deal with somebody to know, you know, we'll exchange, we'll be cool. And that's crazy that people are just like, you too.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of CIA footage and ex-CIA talking about, you know, how people are approached and brought in mm-hmm. and stuff. And there's a high chance someone listening, you know, you either are a spy or you know somebody that's yeah. a spy. Like, I mean, it's
for real.
Because you don't have to be like this clandestine figure that, you know, lurks in the shadows to be a spy. It's selling information.
Mm-hmm. Meeting people, making sure mm-hmm. you throw the party that both people are in that room so that they can go off into a bedroom and you don't ask what's going on in that bedroom.
Being the connector.
Funny that you say that. I just saw a video today of Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins
okay. talking Please about... Please don't tell me he's a spy.
He was recruited and he turned them down. He said he was thought it was very strange, but in he said whatever press or whatever... a pull they thought I might have had, that many years ago he was approached and he said no, but that essentially it was kind of this, we'll have some, you know, ideas for you to put in your songs. We might have some people oh. you want to introduce you to or places you want to go. And that's a perfect cover story, is to be a musician, right? Mm-hmm. And again, that's not saying you're going to quit being the lead singer of your band and not do it, but it's like you do that. And also you just help the government a little bit yeah. here on the side. And he was like, I said no. And then he goes, yeah, I don't really talk about it, because after I talked about seeing that shape-shifting reptilian at that party, everybody stops me in the airport going, tell me the reptilian story. So I'm not going to tell this story. And I was like, well, at the risk of sounding like someone in an airport.
I have not heard that story, Billy, and I need to.
What was that? I'm sorry, what was that?
Perhaps those two stories are connected.
Maybe that was the guy that was asking him to join up.
True. Or they found out, hey, Billy knows what the deal is. So we need to try and pull him in.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to smash a lot more than just pumpkins.
For real,
the
man.
American spirit.
They truly were.
Global destruction, which is what we're seeing right now. What a crazy month. What month is this?
Barely March. We were three okay. days, about to be 4 days into March.
So he's been in office since January.
You have a year and 3 months, 2 months.
Holy yeah. shit, dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, we're at war now, so that's cool.
Godspeed
Whatever it
too.
Takes to get everybody to stop talking about how much the president of the U.S. likes to rape kids.
I will say it's been fascinating to watch the Iranians, their communications calling like American pedophiles. It has become a talking point of we're shooting these missiles at the American pedophile regime or whatever. And I'm like, I mean, I don't agree with what you have done. But if someone points and goes, hey, the sky is up, I'm not going to go, nuh-uh, just because they're from a country that I maybe disagree with how they've run things, despite the fact that we destroyed them like 50 years ago. But that's beside the point. Thoughts and prayers and hugs and love to everybody that's going through all this together. That's just, especially if you went through it with the first time with the W and you're mm-hmm. getting told the same stuff again. So it's hard to stomach again, but we'll see
yeah.
how it turns out.
It feels, last time we were at war with the Middle East, I was in middle school. Or I yeah. guess no, because then we went over to find Bin Laden. I had graduated college. But I remember like the first Kuwait Desert Storm, I was mm-hmm. in middle school. So,
oh, yeah. Gosh.
It goes back a long time.
No, we've been meddling for a really long mm-hmm. time. So we'll see how this ends up. I feel horrible for our service members and their families and our intelligence community who got like no evac orders. I mean, mm-hmm. there were very... small windows that you could get out. And I fear truly that the number of lives that we were told were lost is grossly misstated. You know, I think it's six at this point, which is six too many, but I think it is probably in the triple digits in reality, just seeing the photos and of the destruction that's happened so far. So we've got a lot of military spouses and people serving that listen to from, and people just around the world, this is probably affecting you. You can't, you know, fly certain places. You don't feel safe going outside. And, man,
airports are closed. So if you're trying to leave a place, you might not be able to.
Yeah. Mike Huckabee was like, if you're in Israel, take a bus and then get off the bus and then try to fly. And someone's like, is this a joke? You're telling people to, like, seriously, like, you're trying to tell people to evacuate that way. This is, there, it looks like hell on earth is raining down. So,
and any second, something could fall from the sky and take out your bus.
No, to quote the original War and Peace, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing is what.
It's good for the billionaires' pockets. And that's about it.
Speaking of billionaires, that's what we're talking about today, because we have got, is this a tacky transition? If so, you can cut it out. But, you know, we're going to talk about Robert Maxwell today, who that guy loved a boat. And
he sure did. He Robert fell Maxwell, off one, allegedly.
Well, the publishing magnate, he's right here up at the top. And you know a ship that you're going to stay on the whole time because it's so much fun. That's Crime Wave at Sea, 2027. Brett, if you want to throw,
we really have
this,
to work on how we're going.
The transition didn't work. Robert Maxwell.
No, I think it's good.
It's great. So, February 8th through the 12th, 2027. Come see us. Come see Last Podcast on the Left Side Stories. Henry and Ed. Come see True Crime Garage. True Crime.
None
Campfire.
Of the Maxwells will be there. At least of this Maxwell family.
No, if you're, we do not allow anybody that's affiliated with anybody in the Epstein class.
No, I don't allow pedophiles on the cruise ships I go on. And I will be standing at the dock and asking every single person that comes on whether, like, you're with Crime Wave or not.
They're like, scan your sea pass. Okay, now go through security. And now you have to go look this blonde woman in the eyes. And then she's like, you can pass. And they're like, what was that? And it's like, don't worry. She was just sniffing out the predators. And they're like, oh, what? She can do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, she can.
And I promise you, some of y'all are going to get turned away. I'm not saying our listeners, but just statistically speaking, you know.
Got an eye for it. You got an eye. Well, go to crimewaveandsea.com and use code SINISTER to book your cabin. They're selling out quick. It's not just us.
Are.
It's so many great acts, and I can't wait. I mean, I can't believe February's already over, because before it was like, okay, it's exactly a year. Now I'm like, it's less than a year, and it's just going to go ticking down. So get to that 69th cabin. We'll have if you're the 69th cabin, we will have a private dinner with you. And if you're the 420th cabin, we will fly you to Texas to have porch time with us. So go to crimewaveandsea.com/sinister or use code sinister to check out and get on Crime Wave and let's get on out of here. But in the meantime,
let's get on out of here.
Get
everybody.
On out of here. We do have a different ship to talk about today. One that a very rich man fell off of. Fell off of? You tell me.
Was pushed? Was thrown? Who knows? Who knows? Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Jeffrey Epstein was a college dropout who became a billionaire with one known client. In January of 2026, the Department of Justice released over 3.5 million pages of documents about him, which reignited one of the most persistent and most contested questions in the entire case. Was Jeffrey Epstein a spy?
Because that was the question. He just got this job out of school out of nowhere.
Yeah. It seems like you most definitely have to have connections of some sort.
Yeah, you'd either need to be qualified, he was not, or have connections. Bill Barr's dad, who ran the school that he worked at, CIA asset, newly released emails from Epstein to Steve Bannon just said, did you know Bill Barr? CIA. So, like, you know?
And they're so casual about it in the emails. It's almost comical. Just like, hey, just checking in real quick. Did you want to be part of the shadow government for the 9/11 thing we're doing or no?
Like,
if
what?
Not, that's cool. Just checking. Golf next week?
Yes,
let
me know.
It's just crazy how casual it all is.
Except the calendar invite if you want to be in the shadow commission.
Yeah. And there's like 20 people on the shadow government calendar invite Zoom meeting that you're going to have.
I do wonder, though, if you know that you have information about people, you're like, they won't rat me out. And if they do, I'll ruin them or kill them. You're like, I can't be casual in my email.
Well, she did. So there you go. In the 1980s, after being fired from financial company Bear Stearns, Epstein relocated to London, where he fell in with a circle that would define the next decade of his life. According to Middle East Eyes Deep Dive Investigation, Epstein met Douglas Leese, an aristocratic British arms dealer who had brokered the UK's largest ever weapons sale, a deal supplying British fighter jets to the Royal Saudi Air Force. Leese mentored Epstein and introduced him to two other figures who would follow him for years, Adnan Khashoggi and Robert Maxwell. Khashoggi was one of the most powerful arms brokers in the world. The Saudi billionaire served as the middleman in the Iran-Contra affair, the covert Reagan-era scheme to sell weapons to Iran and funnel the proceeds to rebels in Nicaragua. Khashoggi later appeared as a listed client of Epstein's consulting firm. Court records show Epstein received wire transfers from accounts tied to Khashoggi.
Which is why I think Ron Wyden, the senator, and so many folks, congressional side that are diving in, have emphasized how important all the financial transactions are. Because it will, you know, people could go, well, they were at a party together. It doesn't mean, and you're like, well, they're sending like gajillions of dollars back and forth to each other. And getting flagged, by the way, and the banks are going, ignore the flags. Which are not, that's like the purpose of a flag, it's not to ignore it.
But if the people at the bank are getting paid off to just be like, nah, we didn't see that, then it's just one more person on their payroll.
Oh, truly. Or someone at the bank is also an asset. Like they work full time at the bank, but then they're loyal to something else. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, again, to your point earlier, it's never something I've really thought a ton about. Like how many spies are everywhere? But when you do sit and think with it for a minute, there's got to be way more than I ever was considering.
Seriously. And I think two people misunderstand. I certainly did. And it really was Ryan Grimm, who is one of the co-founders of DropSite News, that clarified the different types of espionage roles and the difference in kind of like an agent who that's like all they do and that's who they work for versus some agents who are undercover, who technically are still for like working just for the CIA and are undercover in another job versus assets who like just through connections have been put on like almost like an informant, but you do way more. And that seems like the best gig of all because you really don't answer to anybody and you get the most money and freedom. And you can also do it for like you could be an asset for multiple different agencies. And by that, I mean countries. And they might, you know, as long as you're good and sneaky and they don't know about your connections with the other ones, or you just tell them, I'm going to get that for you. And then I'm going to tell you because I'm really loyal to you. So you're like a triple agent. It's crazy.
Which at some point you would think is going to catch up with you.
Yeah,
because you can only have so many plates spinning before it all comes crashing down. Unless there's, what is the saying? There's no something in love and war.
All is fair in love and war?
All is fair. Is that what the saying I'm looking for? Maybe. So. But maybe, you know, something to that effect of where the people that are getting this information and stuff, they're like, we all know we're sleaze bags. Those are the people that do this. So, like, we don't really care how you get it. We just want it.
And that's true. And I wonder, too, if he was such an effective sleaze bag because he had everyone's dirtiest secrets. Like, other people might know you cheat on your wife, but he's like, and with this child dressed as Snow White or whatever, then you're like, I'm loyal to whoever, but they're all very loyal to me.
Yeah. Yep.
Sinisterhood will be right back. These days, I am all about quality over quantity, especially in my closet. If it's not well made and versatile, it's not worth it to me. I'm gonna say that. That is honestly why Christy and I both love Quince. The fabrics feel so elevated, the cuts are thoughtful, and the pricing actually makes sense. They are perfect for layering, mixing, and building a wardrobe that lasts. Plus, their versatile styles make it easy to just reach for them day after day. You always rely on them.
We're talking lightweight cotton cashmere sweaters, denim that fits like it was made for you, and can't miss seasonal colors and prints for spring. Versatile, well-made pieces that make getting dressed simple, but at a fraction of the price.
Quince uses 100% European linen. Their cotton poplin is crisp and holds its shape. The gauze is soft without being flimsy. Everything Quince makes is built to hold up season after season. The stitching, the fits, the fabric, these are pieces you'll reach for again and again. Quince clothing is consistently rated 4.5 to 5 stars by thousands of customers. Real people wearing these pieces every day and actually loving them. My stretch silk V-neck cami and deep orchid, I was like, I can't wear a silk cami. I'm not. This is too elevated for me. First of all, it's extremely elevated, but I was worried it was going to be very like fragile and I was going to destroy it. I was going to stain it or rip it. And it is washable and it's, and it looks good after I've washed it. And I was like, that's Quince, baby. Why'd I doubt him? I
never did. I'm doing a closet clean out right now and I'm getting rid of anything that I don't like, that doesn't make me feel good or is old or ratted out. And I'll tell you what is not going in that pile is everything I've gotten from Quince, because it's all high quality, makes me feel great, stands up to washing and wear, and makes me look like I got my shit together.
Hell yeah.
Right now, go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to wear it and love it, and you will. Now available in Canada, too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/creepy. Robert Maxwell, the father of Ghislaine Maxwell, was a British media mogul born into a Hasidic Jewish family in Czechoslovakia. Maxwell co-founded Pergamon Press in 1951 and built it into one of the most powerful academic publishing houses in the world, growing from 40 journals to over 700 titles before selling the company for £440 million in 1991. The empire gave him a near monopoly over the flow of international scientific knowledge during that period.
And he also owned a newspaper that was kind of one of the prime newspapers in the UK at the time and controlled, he said he was pretty much had editorial control over the political page and the editorial, like the opinions page as well. And so he owned the Daily Mail, Rupert Murdoch owned the Sunday Times, and it was like these two billionaires kind of like what we have now with like the Washington Post is owned, and then Larry Ellison and his son are, you know, buying CBS and CNN, to where you have these wealthy people running the news. You're like, well, it's kind of getting filtered through something.
Yeah. If you have like two monopolies running all of the media people consume, then it's pretty easy for those people to control exactly what people not only are just learning from the news, but are being distributed into classrooms and kind of like
controlling.
This is how history went down.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, why didn't I ever hear about that when I was a kid? And it's like, well, because they own the textbook companies, which Macmillan, Robert Maxwell's company bought Macmillan, merged with McGraw-Hill, which was a lot of textbook companies, right around 1989, 1991, before he sold it.
Ghislaine's father cultivated political connections across the Western world and the Soviet bloc. According to multiple serious investigative works, including the book Robert Maxwell, Israel's Super Spy by Gordon Thomas and Martin Dillon, Robert Maxwell was extensively linked to Israeli intelligence. Maxwell is alleged to have served as the primary commercial middleman for the Mossad's distribution of a backdoored version of the PROMISE software, a case management program originally developed for the U.S. Department of Justice that Israeli intelligence reportedly modified with a hidden trapdoor. Israel then sold the software through Maxwell to the intelligence agencies of more than 20 countries, including the KGB, as well as to Sandia National Laboratories and Los Alamos National Laboratory, giving Israel covert access to some of the most sensitive nuclear research facilities in the United States.
And that was kind of a big deal when, in 1986, a whistleblower came forward in the UK and said, hey, I have these photos that Israel is developing nuclear weapons, and I have photos from inside that I took secretly. Can I publish them? Well, Robert Maxwell's Daily Mail said, oh yeah, we'll publish them. Give us the pictures. Well, then when the article came out, someone had stolen the pictures and there was another guy. When the article came out, it was like, this crank, crazy guy is probably a con man and he has all these pictures. I have an expert here that says these pictures were likely taken in an egg factory. And you're like, where they have chickens laying eggs or whatever, because of the similarity, I guess, of the squares. And at the end of the day, they were actually pictures of the arms program. And mm-hmm. because Robert Maxwell controlled the Daily Mail, he made this whistleblower seem crazy. And so mm-hmm. in the same way, he's like, no, I'm just a software guy. This is just really good software. Meanwhile, you could just copy and paste what everybody's doing at fucking Los Alamos, where we just, yeah. what?
When you control the news, you control everything.
Truly. And like, information is key. And him being like, oh, I'm just a publisher, but mm-hmm. I've been investing in this software that's awesome. You guys should use it. It's great software. I'm the newspaper guy. Remember me? And you're like buying software thinking it's perfectly legitimate. Meanwhile, people are fucking spying on you.
You're putting it on all of your computers. And yeah, they have access to everything. An article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch dated May 17, 1989, documented a party aboard Robert Maxwell's yacht, the Lady Ghislaine, and the guest list reads like a who's who of the intelligence-adjacent elite. Donald Trump, John Tower, the former senator who allegedly facilitated Maxwell's sale of the backdoored Promise software to the U.S. labs, ex-Navy Secretary John Layman, U.N. Envoy Thomas Pickering, Ghislaine Maxwell herself, and a representative of Macmillan, the publishing house Maxwell had just acquired.
And that's the other thing, if like Trump being like, I don't even know these people. You like knew these people. Like, you were on this guy's yacht with a close gathering of friends.
Like, yeah, I've never been on a yacht, but if I get invited on one, I bet that I interact with the person whose yacht it is, because that'd be crazy not to.
And if the person whose yacht it is as important and high up as Robert Maxwell, he doesn't just invite anybody on the yacht.
No.
You know, it's connected people.
Everything is purposeful.
Oh, yeah. Intentional, for sure. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the Maxwell file. You know, Robert Maxwell's, he didn't have emails, you know, letters, stuff like that, as in as searchable a format as we have Epstein. But I feel like they were running similar operations. I'm not saying that Maxwell had a huge, you know, cachet of young children that he was offering people. But I think kind of like, I'll get you what you want and I'll get you in some rooms and it will benefit me.
Yeah. Which would make sense that when her father died, Ghislaine sought out someone that was doing the same shit.
She's like, I know how you roll.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm having a longing, a void, and a missing thing in my life that I need filled.
Need a little help.
Yeah. John Tower died in a plane crash in 1991. Later that year, Robert Maxwell died after falling from his yacht near the Canary Islands. His funeral was attended by no less than 6 serving and former heads of Israeli intelligence, as well as several high-ranking Israeli politicians and prime ministers.
So, again, not your average predator for Jeffrey Epstein, and not your average magazine owner with Robert Maxwell. No. I mean, that's a pretty specific list of folks. And are you going to pay your respects, or are you going to make sure the person who recently just threatened you is actually dead? Because in the emails, Epstein just said, he said right before he fell off his yacht, Robert Maxwell had made it clear to his Mossad handlers, I will reveal what I know about you all and what I've collected on your behalf unless you pay off my $400 million of debt. He had made some bad business deals and was desperately in debt. And rather than going, yeah, I'll pay you, allegedly he fell off his yacht, Epstein seems to imply in his email he was taken out because of that threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not trustworthy.
No, yeah. And who would want to pay $400 million when you can just throw somebody into the ocean? Just flick them on off.
There was like a little platform that he liked to piss off of that didn't have like railings. I'm like, you just wait for him to go take a piss and kick him in his back.
For sure.
He's an old man. Like, not trying to give anybody any ideas, but it wasn't like he was a formidable foe.
What a gross thing to do.
Just piss in the ocean
I mean, I guess everybody does it, and the fish and all the things that live in there do it. There's something about having access to a toilet and choosing instead to piss into the beautiful ocean that doesn't sit right with me.
He's like, take that, Shamu.
Throughout this period, Epstein possessed a fraudulent Austrian passport, confirmed by federal agents who found it in his Manhattan safe during his 2019 arrest. The document bore his photo, but a false name. The stamp showed it had been used to enter France, Spain, the UK, and Saudi Arabia. It listed his country of residence as Saudi Arabia. Epstein's attorneys told prosecutors he had obtained it as a precaution against kidnapping while traveling abroad as a wealthy Jewish man. While that explanation may have been true, intelligence historians note that a fake passport is also a standard element of espionage tradecraft.
And I think it's vital to look at the timeline that he had this passport in the 90s, the 80s and 90s. And Vicky Ward, amongst other journalists, including Jesse Kornbluth, who was also claims he was a personal friend of Jeffrey Epstein's, said that around this time in the 80s and 90s, Epstein would always tell people he was, "I'm a kind of financial bounty hunter. I'm a bounty hunter." He said, "I find lost or stolen money for the government, or I do it for really rich people." And he said, Vicky Ward said one of the men for whom he tracked down money was Adnan Khashoggi, the Saudi businessman. And Kornbluth said that, you know, he had done it for, I believe, Jackie Onassis's husband, like other heads of states, arms dealers. But that phrase, high level bounty hunter, financial bounty hunter, kept coming up, and that he would track down offshore assets and hide, you know, where people hid them. Well, yeah, if you did that throughout the 80s and 90s, when it came time to hide your own assets, you'd be like, "I know where."
Oh, I know where to put them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, tracking down something, because you mentioned bounty hunter, and immediately I think of that racist, roided up dog, the bounty hunter. And that's like you physically go and get it back type of thing. There's other ways you can get money. And one of those is, "Hey, I got a video of you doing some real bad shit. So you better pay this dude or I'm releasing this to everybody."
When it's like, and also, "Why don't you give me some meetings? Or aren't you going to invest in this new business for my friend? You're going to give my friend's business $20 million, right? Right?" Because, you know, video cameras are, you know, around. So I think you're right. He figured out you can twist people's arms in multiple ways.
Oh, yeah. In March 2018, Epstein sent an email alleging Maxwell had acted as an informal operative, gathering information on the United States, the UK, and the Soviet Union. This is Epstein's own characterization, not a confirmed intelligence document, but it establishes that by 2018, Epstein understood Maxwell's alleged Mossad role in granular detail and was writing about it openly in private correspondence.
And you might think, "I want to do the same thing."
Former Israeli intelligence officer Ari Ben-Menash has gone further. In his 2020 book and in interviews, he claims he met both Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell in the 1980s at Robert Maxwell's offices. Menash also claims that both were already working with Israeli intelligence at the time. They had begun running what he describes as a honey trap operation, recording powerful men in compromising situations for use as blackmail material.
Ari Ben-Menash has been talking openly about Robert Maxwell being a spy for like 30 years. And some people take him seriously and listen. And others have been like, "He's just one guy saying it." And then January 30th, 2026, 3 million documents come out. And it's like, yeah, I mean, like the truth. He's been, turns out he's been saying the truth for like 30 years.
You got to feel so vindicated.
Oh, for sure.
The way I would just wear a shirt for the rest of my life to say, "I fucking told you so. I tried to tell all you assholes." But it does seem like this is exactly the way Epstein liked to operate, record powerful men in compromising situations to use as blackmail.
No, absolutely. And the recording, I don't know when he started it, but he would get down to the point that there's an email from Epstein to his pilot going, "Hey, go get that spy camera I told you about." And then the pilot's like, "Got the spy camera. This thing's crazy small. I'll go ahead and start hiding them in the Kleenex boxes like you said, boss." Like you said, it's like that obvious.
Yeah.
And the footage, it's crazy.
It's comical levels of just, but you know, I mean, they operated like no one's ever going to see this but us. And for a long, long time, they were right.
True, true. Gosh. Yeah. Some of these emails are nearly 20 years old.
In 2008, Epstein received a plea deal in Florida for charges that included sexual abuse and exploitation of minors. The sweetheart deal was so lenient, it was later described by a federal judge as a violation of victims' rights. The U.S. attorney handling the case was Alexander Acosta. Multiple journalists, including Vicky Ward in her investigation for the Daily Beast, reported that Acosta later told associates he had been instructed to back off because Epstein
belonged to intelligence and was above my pay grade.
The January 2026 DOJ files add a layer of documentation to Acosta's claim. An FBI memo from 2020 records a confidential human source stating that Epstein's attorney, Alan Dershowitz, told Acosta directly that Epstein
belonged to both U.S. and Allied intelligence services.
No transcript of Acosta's own words has been publicly released, but the FBI memo confirms the Bureau formally documented the allegation.
I have to go back and listen to our 2019 Epstein episode, but when we were discussing that deal, we were both just like, this is insane. This makes zero sense unless he is connected to somebody or something in a way that would make sense that you would have to have him out on the streets. This is a convicted predator who would rape three girls a day some days. I mean, he was busy. And for him to get 6 days a week out of jail, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless he's an asset and you need him to be out doing work.
Yeah. There's only really one explanation for that. I mean, I'm a big Occam's razor type of gal, and it seems like the easiest explanation, especially when no one gives you an explanation for, like, but why is this so crazy lenient? Well, we can't tell you it's because he's a spy and we can't have him out there, but we got to do something. So it looks like we're not just completely insane and letting him do whatever he wants, but he's a spy.
Yeah, they're like, we got to give him some time because he got caught red-handed, red-handed. But it's crazy that we talked about in the last episode, Dershowitz being like, if he was a spy and he told me, I'd just be able to get him a super good deal. And we're like, you did. You did get him a super good deal.
You wart of a man.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
Perverted. Also, child rapist wart of a man.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ehud Barak is a significant figure mentioned multiple times in the newly released files. He's a former Israeli general, the most decorated soldier in Israeli military history, former head of military intelligence, former prime minister, and former defense minister. He is the man who commanded Israeli forces in numerous covert operations. He is also the man who, according to Epstein's own calendars released by the House Oversight Committee, visited Epstein's Manhattan properties approximately 36 times between 2013 and 2017, a rate of nearly once per month. After one visit in 2017, Barak was photographed leaving Epstein's 66th Street apartment building with his face partially covered in a manner interpreted by observers as deliberate avoidance of surveillance cameras. Barak has acknowledged the relationship and expressed regret.
And there's also audio of, it sounds like Epstein was in charge of Barak. Like, it's weird for there to, they have such different resumes and such different experience. And I mean, is it that different? But the fact that when you listen to the conversations, the audio of it, like one of them, Epstein's like, you need to sign up with Palantir. You need to start using Palantir, P-A-L-L-E-N. First of all, he spells it wrong. He also spells Peter Thiel's name wrong. And just Epstein's like, write this down. This is what you need to do. And Ehud Barak's like, okay, I got it. What's his name? Okay, let me write it down. I got it. And it's strange. It's just like a strange dynamic that sounds more like Barak, after he was no longer prime minister and became this kind of consultant, you know, you're now in private business, was like looking to Epstein of like, okay, I know you're the connected guy. So how do I get connected? And that's the tone, not I'm the former prime minister. You will respect me. It's like, yeah, boss. Yeah. What do we do now? It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's, I mean, for him, it's embarrassing to have gone from all these titles to now you're working for this pervert, but one would ask why, maybe, and you know, what did Epstein have on him that was like, now I'm the one in charge,
right? And Epstein was the one, and through the emails you can see that he's the one that helped Barak sell software to different governments across the world, and one wonders given Robert Maxwell's selling of software, you know, is it, who knows what the software does or what it can do? And also the connection to the Rothschild Bank that the Epstein pursued the Swiss Rothschild Bank to help finance an Israeli cyber weapons big deal that they had going on. And you can kind of see that he knew which banks would be friendly to secretive transactions. And he had the Wall Street Journal has shown that the Rothschilds and Epstein have a relationship that ran pretty deep. And as soon as Ehud Barak left being prime minister or the minister of defense in Israel in 2013, he was like really, you know, people were knocking on his door because he was definitely going to be doing these deals as a consultant. So all these European banks like wanted to have him as a client. And when he signed up with a competitor bank, Epstein received an email from Rothschild's bank that was like, oh, that's a shame. That's a shame he didn't go with us, which is kind of, to me, it's always like, they're not saying outright, like, you need to switch him to us. But it's like, notice that Barak ended up at a different bank. We're really disappointed by this, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? And then he connects Ehud Barak to Arianne de Rothschild. And then there's like emails back and forth that one said, like, if Ehud Barak wants to have a serious thing, he's got to get with Epstein. Like, why do all these people go to him?
Yeah. No.
I don't know. It's crazy.
It is. It's, and I agree that there's a lot of subtext with these types of people. You don't have to come out and say, we're really disappointed, because it's the, just as they use weird language in other areas, kind of this like covert code, but it, I don't know. It almost gives like mean girls, because it's just like, well, guess you'll have to find somewhere else to eat lunch next week then. And then, you know, it's just like ends at that. So you're like, fuck, I fucked up. I got to fix all this without anyone like telling you. But you know what the deal is. And you also know how serious and dangerous all these people are.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like you're right. The psychological tactics of mean girls, mafiosos, and dirty spies are all the same. Maybe not even dirty spies. Are all the same.
TLC show.
Mean girls, mafiosos, and dirty spies. But it is like, wouldn't it be a shame if something happened? It seems like those, you're right, that tone. And it's almost a tone of, if you get it, you can roll with us. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, we're going to have to kill you. Or like,
if you know,
cut you
know.
Out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's, that's what the tone with these emails back and forth was. So there is several of the journalists covering this are like, I know I'm going to sound crazy being like, it's the Rothschilds, but it, I mean, it's the, I mean, it is like, it's her name's in the email like a bunch of times. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Her name's
We're
going to
cover all those families in an upcoming episode, because it's, they're fascinating in many ways. And it really is. So much can be traced back to them and their money of when things kind of started becoming corrupt.
Yeah, there's like five or six different families that I think stuff has branched off of, but it's fascinating, especially, and we can get into it in the Rothschild episode, but Arianne's like connection to the family she kind of married in and yada yada. But it is, it does make you sound like the crazy uncle from a movie in the 90s, right? When you're like, maybe he was onto something the whole time. Not everything, but.
And then you're vindicated once again. So many people have been like, I told y'all this whole time, you've been saying about so many different conspiracy theories.
I hope when disclosure happens, this is how people who had UFO or non-human intelligence like experiencers are vindicated and truly are like, oh, my whole life got fucking ruined because I just said the true thing about what I knew and an entire giant machine ate me up afterwards.
Yeah. No, it's, I'm not at all comparing being sexually assaulted to being abducted by an alien. The similarities, though, in someone saying, this really happened to me and I need other people to know this is a danger and it can happen, and not being believed. And like you said, your world just being ruined professionally, personally, whatever. All of these things, in my opinion, were really happening, and the victims were explicitly and purposely made to look like they were crazy with the claims that they were saying.
I mean, and not only that, there's emails of Epstein in there essentially asking, like, how do we deal with these women? One of them, an email said, hey, can you help me out? He basically said, this woman's trying to, Epstein emailed this Russian guy. And if I'm not mistaken, the Russian guy was trained from the FSB, which is the CIA of Russia, right? So this was a Russian intelligence related guy. And Epstein emailed and said, hey, this girl's going around trying to blackmail men in New York, wealthy businessmen. Well, do we think she was just telling people aloud what happened to her? She was trying to blackmail men. And the guy responds and is like, well, here are some people that she works with. And I think it'd be pretty bad for her if she wasn't allowed back in the US. So, you know, if you could kind of make that. So, like, again, it's like this implication. It appears that this guy was asked by Epstein, I need you to, this lady's Russian. So I'm going to need you to tell me why this Russian woman is trying to threaten us. And then this Russian intelligence guy, apparently appears to be, responds and is like, here's a dossier on her. Here's how to fuck her life up. See you later, boss. Like, yeah. I said, it's not, oh, Epstein's taking orders from anybody. He's the one asking for this FSB agent to like help him build a dossier on a woman who was abused. So yeah. Again, that woman probably did suffer horrific. I'm sure reputationally, she probably got kicked out of the country, you know, her business taken away from whatever. And it was literally just because she told somebody that she got raped probably by one of Epstein's friends.
Hashtag mama.
That's happening, baby.
It's happening. It's happening. This is what fucking happens when you put a bunch of men in charge of shit is this. So let's not do that anymore. Let's try something different.
So I'm like, why is everyone voting for the same people over and over again? We can't do that again. Shut it down. Clear it out. If you're a rich person in a suit, you don't get to be in charge of me. Full stop. I want a real person with a real job who's done real work to be in charge of me.
We're recording this on a very big day in Texas where our primaries are right now. I still have, you voted early, as did Tommy and Paris, because y'all are all fucking on it, and I still gotta go today.
But it's 5 minutes. You got it. It's only 5 minutes.
No, yeah, it's right up the street too. We've been very heartened to see the preliminary stats come out, and may this, for the love of God and everything holy, be the year that we turn Texas blue.
I mean. We all said, we were like, we'll turn Texas blue at all costs. And then you're like, we did not realize it would be all of these things coming out and happening. Yeah. But you know what? Mama's coming, baby.
Mama's coming home. The more granular finding in the new documents involves Barack's longtime aide, Yoni Korin. According to DropSite News, Korin made his intelligence career working in covert operations alongside the Mossad and held a rank of lieutenant colonel in Israeli reserve duty. House Oversight Committee calendars document Korin's stay at Epstein's apartment, including arrivals and departures. Critically, according to those records, Korin stayed at the apartment in 2013 while he was actively serving as bureau chief for the Israeli Ministry of Defense. This visit was not a private citizen going on vacation to visit a friend. The DOJ email releases confirm Korin was exchanging wire transfer information with Epstein. He continued using the apartment while receiving cancer treatment in New York through the time of Epstein's death in 2019. Korin died in 2023. DropSite News also reported that based on prior disclosures by Edward Snowden, the NSA was surveilling Barack and Korin in New York during this same time period.
And that's the crazy thing is I think Epstein, like I said, he wasn't just a CIA agent. He wasn't just a Mossad agent or just an FSB agent. It's like at that time he was helping these guys with this deal. And the same time, it's crazy that like we're investigating what should be our allies, but also kind of there is this kind of like love, like I don't even say love, hate, but like love spy relationship that's very documented. So it was interesting that the Epstein apartment was just where you're going to go stay, not a hotel. You're going to go stay at your bud's apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's, I can't think of any other job where it's like you work for everybody. Mm-hmm. Including people you work for, you're working also for their competitors. And it's like, well, how can you work for Samsung and Apple? Like, isn't that a conflict? Aren't you like helping one but hurting the other? You would think. But if you get real good at it, I guess you can help or hurt everyone the way however you want to do it while still amassing power, wealth, knowledge, etc.
Well, he was the deal guy, so I think he didn't care as long as deals were getting done. So he'd be like, this deal will help you right now, and maybe it'll hurt my, you know, other ally later, but there'll be another deal and I'll get them. So it's like we always say, and you know, we've been saying, it's not left versus right in the US, it's up versus down, right? And I think this is a very clear thing. We don't even have countries when you get to a certain level of wealth. Like, you're, where was Epstein a resident of? You tell me. He lived anywhere he wanted. He had random passports. He could go anywhere he wanted in his jet. And he, you know, does he vote? Does it fucking matter if you vote? You know what I mean? If you're the guy who chooses who even gets voted on, you know who's going to win. It's going to be your guy. So this is a clear demonstration of this Epstein class where it's like, oh, well, he must have been an American working on behalf of America, or Russia working on behalf of Russia, or Israel. No, he's working for money. He's working for fucking money. That's himself. All he wanted to do. Yes. And for the people around him.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. And I think also you're right about his own perverse wants and needs are as being part of it, that it's like, if I can trade information to get a shit ass load of money in my own islands, I can fuck whoever I want at the island. And also I can film everyone. That'll be convenient. And eventually I'll make enough money to clone myself and live forever, which I think is what he really wanted to do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. DOJ emails reveal correspondence beginning in early 2016 with Rafi Shlomo, then director of protective service at Israel's permanent mission to the United Nations and head of Barak's personal security detail. Shlomo coordinated directly with Epstein's staff to install surveillance and access control equipment at 301 East 66th Street, the apartment building Epstein controlled, and where Barak regularly stayed. Barak's wife corresponded with Epstein's assistant about the installation, describing a system with window sensors and remote access.
The only thing to do is call Rafi from the consulate and let him know who and when is entering.
He got the whole family in on it. It's a family business.
So that's kind of a lot of information to process of like, we're the ones installing the equipment. And then you need to call the consulate to tell them who is coming. So what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean?
To me, it would mean you're working for Israel.
It sounds like it. If you're calling the consulate to tell them who is entering with the window sensor place that's covered in cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Epstein's assistant confirmed in writing that
Jeffrey says he does not mind holes in the walls, and this is all just fine.
Shlomo personally conducted background checks on Epstein's cleaners and employees. The correspondence continued through 2017. Newly released documents reveal the building also housed underage models.
Yeah,
shocking.
Exactly. I feel like, again, that banality. The holes are fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. But see, I also, and I might be reading too much into this. I'm like, is that all, is it like holes in the actual wall, but it's saying like something more? Is there some subtext there to imply something that maybe we as lay people don't even get? I don't know. Again, it's total conjecture. I just feel like everything they say, it makes you question, like, was this what they were really saying, or does this kind of code for something else?
No, truly. I mean, I think, but at least with the New York mansion, I mean, I think they really did have, like, drilled down into, like, because it was, like, thick walls. So they were, this was, like, a serious operation of, like, adding all these cameras to this guy's house. They're not just sticking up a camera where you can see it, you know?
No, they're hidden.
And microphones and things like that. So, yeah, that it does make you curious about is that literal holes in the wall or if there was some other implication. But I do also I'm also concerned about the idea that Epstein's whole entire staff was getting background checks on cleaners and employees. And it was reported that Epstein's employees would have to sign an NDA. You know, when they worked with him, which makes sense. He's got a lot of sensitive people and information, but that they were also told, if you ever run into any trouble or, you know, you end up face to face with law enforcement, call this one lawyer in New York. Only call this lawyer.
Was it Alan Dershowitz?
Right. I did not see that it was Alan Dershowitz. They're like, Alan Dershowitz is busy. You know, we'll hear later. He was very busy at Harvard getting his own recruits. But I feel like that points to we need somebody that can get us out of these binds. If you get a low level cop pulling you over, and because we're actually doing something kind of important here.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not trying to bring down the whole operation over a misdemeanor, which is, I mean, we've seen with other criminals, serial killers, everything. It's like, oh, you got pulled over because your taillight was out. And then they find, you know, your kill bag in the back seat or whatever. It also, while they're getting background checks and stuff run, which with someone that high profile wouldn't be a red flag immediately to someone. I can't believe, though, that these people, the cleaners and the employees and all these people, didn't know what was going on.
Or something, you know, if even if they don't have a whole picture, kind of like, and do you accidentally overhear stuff, and or you just recognize who people are and go like, oh, that's the fucking minister of defense of another country. Like, I'm not going to say it. Like,
and that's
Sultan.
A 12-year-old girl, but I'm getting paid cha-ching and, you know, maybe getting helped out in other ways too. So I'm just going to turn the other cheek.
And I would say too, for a lot of the non-connected people, I would not rule out the fact that they may have been threatened or afraid for their lives, you know, because I don't think if you're just, you know, even the most loyal of cleaners, you accidentally overhear something, they're going to give you a heart attack. You know, you're going to get in a car crash on the way home. And so you don't even make a hint that you might ever even, you're like, I don't see anything. I saw nothing, Mr. Epstein. Can I get you some more tea? I never see anything and I never will because now that I know it, I can't unknow it. And if I tell anyone, they're going to kill my whole family. So, yep. Keep doing what you're doing. It's fine. I'll just make sure no one I know ever comes here.
It's, I think that's how it goes. Yeah. And then you grapple with, can I even quit this job? Like, is this, am I just in this for life because I know too much? I mean, maybe. I don't know.
It is scary. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In November 2017, Epstein emailed Barack twice, once asking,
does Boys ask you to help obtain former Mossad agents to do dirty investigations?
And then asking,
Boys said he got to the Mossad guys through you.
The reference is to prominent attorney David Boies, who at that time was representing Harvey Weinstein and also Virginia Roberts Giuffre against Epstein. These emails established that Epstein understood Barack to have a direct pipeline to former Mossad operatives available for commercial intelligence work.
It's just like when Epstein was emailing all his buddies, David Dubno and others, being like, hey, can you give me an NSA codebreaker? Because I'm trying to hack DNA.
Yeah.
So he can do that. So he knows people in U.S. intelligence to just get him codebreakers, just like he can email you, Barack, and be like, yo, give me some Mossad agents. I need to do dirty investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Also, David Boies, what are you doing?
Wild that you would represent both Harvey Weinstein and Virginia Giuffre. Yes, sure. Everyone's entitled to a fair and equal representation. Just ethically, to see both sides of that coin, quite literally, I hope the money's worth it. David Boies, because how do you fucking defend someone like Harvey Weinstein and then see what Virginia Giuffre is bringing to you and you're still able to sleep at night?
No, I mean, seriously. And also, it's not even like this is what Virginia Giuffre alleged. It's like you're apparently talking with these people like regularly. And the fact that he represented Weinstein makes sense. It's my understanding David Boies is like one of the most, you know, highly regarded attorneys, litigators, defense attorneys, whatever. But the connection here is a little suspicious. Some people had said, well, he probably went to go represent Virginia to try to make himself look better from the Weinstein representation and be like, look, I'm not just defending pedos. Sometimes I try to help victims of pedos and go after this guy. But what would make me feel suspicious would be these type of emails. Did boys ask you to help obtain former Mossad agents to do dirty investigations? Why is what? And like, David Boies can say all day long, like, Jeffrey Epstein made that up. He just made it up. And maybe he did. But it's spoken sort of like a known thing. And I feel very sad for Virginia that it sounds like she had kind of a, perhaps an attorney who did not have a heart fully pointed toward protecting her.
A double agent himself.
Sounds like it, perhaps.
If he's working with Epstein, she's making claims against Epstein. That's her attorney. Why wouldn't he turn around and tell Epstein everything she's saying? You know, I mean, just fucking sickos, man. It's
truly,
it's such a bummer to think, and not even think, but now you like see that like we're right. Like it all, everyone at some level is just protecting each other. So rego people just don't get the same treatment.
No, truly, it is. It's like you think as Virginia, you're like, oh, man, this is like the biggest attorney in the country. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And not understand like they're emailing each other, dude.
Yeah. And maybe he took your case because of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One like, would wonder
why did he take your case, you know?
No, and it's like we talked about before when the last law firm she was with that Epstein knew the owner of that law firm. Mm-hmm. And then that guy turns out he was stealing the money and had to leave town and then bankrupted the firm. And then all their documents get locked up. So it's like a horror movie, truly, where you think, OK, I've beaten him. And then Dr. Evil comes in and is like, I'm going to give them $1 billion. Mm-hmm. And then they take it and then they're like, oh, so all your files are lost. I don't know what happened. It's
I can't say enough how brave she was to do all of this, given the constant hardships like this that she was up against. And some, I don't even think she knew, but
mm-hmm.
she knew for sure how dangerous Epstein and Maxwell were, as well as all the other men in that circle. So to stand up and say anything is so brave. And then you're like, he fucking got me again. Like the person that I thought I could trust because of attorney-client privilege is turning around and telling the person that I'm accusing of things what I'm saying.
No, I mean, and you're right. And I think she was surrounded by sharks on all sides. Mm-hmm. I feel like Brad Edwards has been a really good, loyal attorney to her. Ironically, Sigrid, who's in all the documentaries, I can't recall her last name, but another attorney was a colleague of David Boies. And I do think there could be good attorneys that happen to work at a firm with somebody who's, I don't think is cool and nice and is gross, but it's very demonstrative of how difficult it is to get justice. And Virginia had literally what we were told was the best attorney in the whole country. And then that's what what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, we see how that ended. So
yeah,
it's a shame because I think she did more for the victims than a lot of other folks did, despite everybody's been trying. It's not for lack of trying. She just happened to be the one that got the furthest.
Yeah. Then in December 2018, a recently revealed email shows Epstein writing to Barack.
You should make it clear that I don't work for Mossad, smiley face.
Barack replied,
you or I?
Epstein answered,
that I don't, smiley face.
The Times of Israel read this exchange as dark humor between the two men as they joked about circulating rumors. There is no authoritative resolution in any document released to date, and the exchange remains up for interpretation.
They were talking about going into a meeting, like a financial meeting, and being like, you should make it clear that I don't work for Mossad. Wink. Like, what is this smiley emoticon?
Again, it's that weird, like, joking. Dark humor is a good way to explain it, but dark humor mixed with inside baseball, like we really know what the deal is. Like mm-hmm. It reads as I derive pleasure from knowing things that other people don't and kind of like joking with my friends who are also in on it. Like we're so cool and smart. We run everything and people don't even know.
Wink, wink. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably, you're right. They probably do get a thrill out of that too.
An FBI memo produced by the Bureau's Los Angeles field office, released in the January 2026 DOJ disclosure, memorializes testimony from a confidential human source described as close to longtime Epstein attorney Alan Dershowitz. The source told the FBI they were convinced that Epstein was a co-opted Mossad agent, that Epstein was
close to the former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, and trained as a spy under him.
And that after phone calls between Dershowitz and Epstein,
Mossad would then call Dershowitz to debrief.
The source explained that as former U.S. attorney Alexander Acosta was negotiating the sweetheart deal, Acosta was told by Dershowitz that
Epstein belonged to both U.S. and allied intelligence.
Well, he's also saying, if he was intelligence, I could have gotten him a better deal. Come on, Alan.
Like I said, we can tell when you're full of fucking shit, and you're full of fucking shit, dude. And that would be a effective way to create space while ensuring that information was accurately transmitted. So you're Epstein, you go and do some sort of a shady meeting. You don't want it to get traced back to your, I won't even say your bosses, but your colleagues that you share things with. So you call your longtime attorney, and your longtime attorney takes, you know, thorough notes and then calls up whomever and then goes, okay, this is the latest from Epstein. This is the allegation of the confidential human source. Alan Dershowitz is very litigation happy. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm saying that's what this source said. And then the FBI thoroughly documented and wrote all of it down, and then nothing came of it. So you tell me. And also Donald Trump was president at the time.
It's very much like, I mean, attorneys do with celebrities or whatever. It's like, I'll do the dirty work. I'll be the one to say something so it can't come back to you. It's like with agents, it's like they make the deals because, you know, the talent and whoever, you don't want to have to say things that that might leave a bad impression of you or something. You know, you don't, you want that all handled and then you just get the final answer. And that is what he was doing.
Yeah, you just don't want to get your hands dirty. And you're like, I'll call Dersh. Get old Dersh.
The source cited in the FBI memo also alleged that Dershowitz influenced wealthy students at Harvard University, specifically naming Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and current Middle East envoy, and his brother, Josh Kushner, as former students within that network. Dershowitz told the source directly that if he were younger, he would be
holding a stun gun as an Israeli intelligence agent. Which, if you're ever like, why would people do this? Why would you go? Because you want to feel like a spy, because you're an old loser who sits in your, you know, who literally your whole job is defending pedophiles and sounds like training up another another generation of them.
Yeah.
And he really
and
has
getting
done
to be one yourself.
And getting to fuck whoever you want. And yeah, you're too old and decrepit to like literally run around and fight. So you're like, I'm doing spy stuff with my friends.
Living vicariously through all these white pieces of shit. And I mean, it is not a coincidence. Kushner's at Harvard with Dershowitz. Kushner later marries Ivanka. Like, none of this is a coincidence. It's all planned for multiple reasons. And it's just wild when you see it broken down that, like, you really can connect all the strings. And it was always there for someone to connect, but just they're so rich and powerful, no one did. Or if they did, then, you know, they were a problem and handled accordingly.
Right? They're like, cut it out. We will kill you. Like the story would get killed at any major billionaire owned publishing house, or they would be told, you know, journalists would kind of be told, these are kind of like strings. These are, you sort of sound crazy. But with the document release, I think it's undeniable. I watched a maybe 15 minute long ABC, not American, but Australian Broadcasting Corporation. And it was not like a full news thing, but it was, I mean, it's sponsored by a legitimate news organization. And this was before the document release. And it was just this whole, everyone that says Epstein is an intelligence agent is kind of crazy. And these are all just like single sources just saying these things. And there's really no evidence. And it's like, the channel has turned comments off on this video. And I was like, I bet they have. Yeah, I have a couple of guesses as to why they might have. Because this guy sounds like a fucking idiot. Because instead of saying, oh, let's inspect this possibility, it was always, you can't say that. You can't just allege that he's like a spy. It's like, well, kind of all the pieces of evidence are starting to show themselves. And you're mm-hmm. like, if I put this, there's a tail. And here there's like a head. And they're like, it's not a puzzle piece of a whale. You can't tell it. It's like, well, it's just because the parts in the middle are missing. But I can see the tail and the head. And I can assume it's probably not a horse in between those. You know, I think unless it's the hork, which is a horse shark that I keep. Thank you, Lacey. That I keep on my desk. But, you know, like you see the front and the back and you're like, I think I know what that is. And in this case, it was not a hork. It was like a whale. Like it was what it was.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think all the threads have been there, but it wasn't until the documents that it was just like, here's all the threads in a single basket and you can search them. And you're like, oh, this is just like obvious.
Yeah. But still, even then, it takes a lot of people going through all of these millions of files to put them together. It's very mm-hmm. Pepe Silva of just like connecting everything. And there's still millions that haven't been gone through and millions that haven't been released. So I don't know if in our lifetime even we'll ever see all the connections or how deep everything went.
I think, yeah, it's going to be a JFK thing where it's like we're elderly and they're going to mm-hmm. be like, they're finally releasing the Epstein files that were held back for mm-hmm. intelligence reasons. And I'm going to be like, that fucking guy on that Australia video was wrong. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The source described how the Kushner family maintained, quote, deep ties to Israel, with the memo also naming Jared's father, Charles Kushner, and referencing what the source described as
a history of corrupt business practices,
without elaborating further. The source's theory is not that the Kushners trained under Epstein, but that they were shaped by Dershowitz, who the source believed was himself the conduit between Epstein's network and Israeli intelligence.
And this is an FBI memo. Like I said, we saw how many notes that they would take when someone called up and was like, Robert Leach strangled a person in front of me, which was to say no notes. So this, if we're taking amount of notes as our measure of whether something is legitimate, this is like a multi-page memo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm just blown away and fascinated by how many people are really brought up in this world of espionage, you know, mm-hmm. and how so much of it really does start at these Ivy League schools. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's a ton of great people that have nothing to do with this that go to Ivy League schools. There's also people that are in influential families that get, what's the word I'm looking for? Not selected, but admitted like into these schools. Yeah. And then, and maybe with the intention of being tapped, or you're tapped and they send you there so you can be molded by someone. It's just, I don't know, this dark, seedy underworld that is horrifying and equally fascinating.
Oh, certainly. We got to do like a Skull and Bones episode, because I feel like there's something to the intelligence community tapping people. And I mean, it would be dumb not to. You're not going to like the worst student at the worst school to be your intelligence asset, right? You want to have somebody that's showing remarkable promise, or that has family ties, that shows that they're willing to play ball and they're not going to rat on anybody, or people that are manipulable through their spouses and relationships, whatever. I think you're right. It's a great place to find high quality candidates and tap them and create a network. Mm-hmm. And briefly, Charles Kushner, Jared's dad, Ivanka's father-in-law, if some are not aware, but in 2005, he was convicted of 18 federal counts on like tax evasion, illegal campaign contributions, and witness tampering. And the witness tampering was because he hired a sex worker to seduce his sister's husband. So he hired a sex worker to seduce his own brother-in-law because his brother-in-law was cooperating with federal investigators to rat Charles out. And so the brother-in-law had sex with the sex worker. Charles Kushner had the encounter filmed and then sent the tape to his own sister.
My fucking God, dude. How Charles evil Kushner are you?
Is a fucking piece of shit. We already knew he was a piece of shit, but that is crazy, petty,
level.
Psychotic Scott Tinerman level shit that you just wrecked your sister's life.
Yeah. Maybe probably the guy was already wrecked, honestly, yes, from the family she's from. But without thinking twice about it to protect himself or just out of revenge, he's willing to do that to his own family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Donald Trump pardoned him in 2020. And in January of 2025, he was nominated as the U.S. ambassador to France. Oh, it did sort of it just sailed right through the nomination and he was confirmed. So that's cool.
And so now he's just doing that. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. He's just the ambassador to France. Good for him.
Between Paolo Zampoli is like definitely kidnapped a bunch of girls and is an official. Don Huffines owns a sex rape ranch. His son works in the fucking government. Now this guy.
The way I was this close to saying something to the woman putting outside of my child's school, which is also a voting place, a sign for Huffines.
Did and you I say walked, something?
Dude, I wanted to so fucking bad.
You wouldn't just come up and be, I would have gone up and been like, are you a Zorro Ranch fan too? I love Zorro. They were,
well,
you know
I
what?
I was running late to go into the school, but I was going to be like, Don Huffines, the man who bought the rape ranch, the baby breeding ranch. Is that who you're campaigning for here?
Mm-hmm. The guy that's highly invested in using weird heart stem cells to do questionable, I don't know, maybe legitimate stuff. Who knows?
She had a lot of signs of a lot of different candidates in her car. So she probably didn't even know what the hell was going on. I don't know. But I was about to educate her and then was like, oh, I'm going to get into an argument in front of my kid's school.
Can't do
I
that.
With this old lady.
Nah,
and I don't want that to happen.
When you call me, I don't have any kids at that school.
Yeah, that's true. I should just always, well, I do have you on speed dial, but.
Like, this lady doesn't even live in this neighborhood. We think she does because her car's always here. She doesn't, technically. I live in the neighborhood.
You live in the neighborhood.
I live at your house like Epstein spent time in jail, which is to say several hours a day, but I do go home and sleep somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's the same. I get the same deal.
It's the same sweetheart deal. Yeah. The same FBI memo that named the Kushners also alleged that Jared Kushner was a supporter of Chabad Lubavitch, a Hasidic Jewish movement founded in 18th century Russia that has grown to an estimated 90,000 members worldwide. The source claimed that the organization was actively seeking to
co-opt the Trump presidency.
A claim that carries particular weight, given Chabad's well-documented alignment with hardline Israeli settler politics in the occupied Palestinian territories. Ivanka and Jared have not hidden their involvement with the sect, publicly donating money to causes and attending a Chabad temple.
Which, I mean, everybody worship how you want, but I think it might be like in, you know, we have Christians, and then we have some Christians that are like Liberty University, right wing, have really
evangelicals.
Specific. Yeah. So I think it's that. It might be like, this is our, you know, we have decided to follow this religion, particularly in this way that also includes with it these other sort of tangential beliefs that this confidential human source seemed to ascribe a sinister meaning to.
Yeah. I was watching an interview with a young man, he's probably in his 30s, that was brought up in a family that was tangentially involved in this as well. And the stories he's had to tell, I've saved it for a future episode, but there is something to religion dating back to, you know, like 14th, 15th century type stuff that has infiltrated the way business is still done, or the way, you know, who people prey to for certain business deals.
Yeah, it's interesting the kind of the ties that connect between. I didn't realize like Vladimir Putin is friendly with leadership of this movement. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, like that where I don't know who's affiliated or, you know, like you said, there's spies all around or people all around, politicians, people doing shit I don't know anything about. So it was just fascinating that this confidential human source felt compelled to bring up this connection specifically, given the, I guess, the leadership of that particular sect was, you know, I guess, affiliated politically.
Mm-hmm. According to the source, Kushner and Ivanka Trump marked Trump's 2016 election victory by visiting the gravesite of Rabbi Schneerson, Chabad's most revered modern leader. The visit was independently verified. The Jewish Telegraphic Agency reported on November 6, 2016, 2 days before the election, that Trump and Kushner appeared at the rabbi's gravesite in Queens. The couple came to pray ahead of Tuesday's vote. While the visit and the couple's connection to the sect has been confirmed, whether the sect itself sought to co-opt the Trump presidency remains unconfirmed.
And that's a good point. And also, I just don't, I'm not entirely sure how this sect fits in, or this faction, I guess, might be a better way to describe it, fits in with overall Judaism. But I think there's also, even amongst the Shabbat adherents, some have ascribed a sort of messianic faction, like a messianic aspect to Rabbi Schneerson, that they, I don't know if they think he will return in human form, return in spiritual form, but I think other people that follow it are like, no, he was just a really great leader and we love him. We don't think, you know, he's going to. So it's hard whenever you are following a religious practice that, and I can speak to this as a Zen Buddhist, that other people follow and then go, and also part of this means you have to fuck me. And you're like, whoa, no, that's a different religion. Or like, and also this means we're going to have to kill people. And you're like, no, that's a different version of my religion. So if Ivanka and Jared just so happen to follow this sort of different type of or specific type of Judaism, and they are not of that sect of it, perhaps that is true. But the confidential human source, like I said, ascribed that there was some sort of that it was kind of a who's who almost. Mm-hmm. Like you're following it not necessarily because you believe that this guy was like a messiah, but because that kind of gets you into the rooms that you need to get into.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's questioning someone's faith that with information I don't have, but they did go to the guy's grave and pray. So
yeah, it's a tricky subject because, of course, we want to be respectful of everyone's religious rights. You see it with people that you know are bad actors, and it's hard to, you know, with 100% certainty be like, no, I bet that they were just doing it because they really loved the religion and they that's really just their practice. I don't know that they do anything that doesn't have an ulterior motive for gain.
Oh, yeah, the Kushners, or like I think the Epstein class, right? I think you get to a point as a billionaire that you're like, I will do whatever it takes and be with whoever. But I think it's similar to, you know, I don't want to ascribe all Christians believe women shouldn't vote, but there is a certain sect of Christians that follow Douglas Wilson, the evangelical pastor who, including our fucking Secretary of Defense, currently follows him. And one has to look at if the Secretary of Defense says, I trust everything this guy says and I totally follow it. You're dumb not to go, that's kind of different than regular Christianity. And I'm going to look into that. So perhaps that's what's going on here, is that there's some differences to it that I think for most practitioners are like, that's not what I'm, hang on, we're not Douglas Wilson kind of Christians, right? Like, we're not doing
that. We don't have a Nazi tattoo taking up half of our chest that's gotten us banned from attending, you know, Biden stuff, but we're not that bad.
You know, so I hope I am interested in this confidential human source, and I hope wherever they're at, whoever is investigating this, like, I don't know, fucking Congress or the Oversight Committee, calls this person to testify.
Yeah. Yes. Call somebody to testify that has something to fucking do with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Dershowitz appeared on a recent February 2026 episode of Piers Morgan Uncensored, where he argued that if Epstein had been a spy before pleading guilty to the sexual abuse claims, he would have told Dershowitz in order to get a better deal. Dershowitz said plainly that Epstein's intelligence connections could have been his
get out of jail free card. Well, he got out of jail free, so.
I think they were, right? Yeah.
Confirmed. Thanks,
you said one thing right, Alan.
Dumbass.
Dershowitz said it would have been easy for him to go to anyone he needed to, even the president of the United States, to secure a deal that would have allowed Epstein to avoid jail time altogether. Dershowitz also stated that he represented Mossad in the 1990s and has a good relationship with current and former heads of Mossad, who have denied any connection to Epstein.
He's like, trust me, bro.
Yeah.
He was a Mossad agent. I said so. Believe me.
He did get out of jail free, so I think you proved yourself. You proved everybody's point there, bud.
What is DJ Khaled? You played yourself. I think you just played yourself. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett stated with
100% certainty
that the allegations Epstein was a spy are
categorically and totally false.
Former Mossad director Yoshi Cohen told the Free Press that Epstein had
absolutely nothing
to do with the Mossad. Netanyahu has argued that Barack's personal ties prove the opposite of Israeli state involvement. Dershowitz told the Times that
no intelligence agency would really trust
Epstein.
Oh, would they?
How can you say both of those things, Alan? You know what? He's contradicting himself mm-hmm. just in what mm-hmm. we're covering here, like five different times.
Mm-hmm. He'd be like, he was never intelligence in any ways. If he was, he would have told me. In any ways, he wouldn't have been because they wouldn't have trusted him. And it's like, you're saying too much, dog. Yeah. You're doing too much and saying too much. And I think with people like Dershowitz, he talks so much, he forgets what he said. And he's also getting old, no offense. But I think he's been talking so much shit for so long about this dude that at some point, the mask starts to slip because you're like, oh, fuck. Did I say this or did I say that? Mm-hmm. You know, you can't quite, you're not as like hot on your toes anymore. So
it's hard to lie this much and keep mm-hmm. up with it. And mm-hmm. I don't know that any intelligence agency really did trust Epstein. I mean, as much as you can trust somebody like that, but like you said, is it about trust or is it about getting you what you want?
Yeah. And I'm like, you would have to trust them if you were going to use them for stuff, and have them be your employee and you go and tell them what to do and you say, do this mission. But if you just have a friendly relationship and he gives you stuff sometimes and you pay him in return and whatever, then that's not quite the same as, oh, well, he works for an intelligence agency, which is why I think I'm so anal retentive about being like, no, I think he was an intelligence asset, like a freelance kind of intelligence asset, because I think it can be demonstrably proved that he was not a agent for the CIA mm-hmm. or an agent for these. And so it sucks because when you say, you know, when I think people on TikTok or not just TikTok, a lot of people on YouTube have been like, no, he was a Mossad agent and that's the only place he worked for and that's who he worked for. It can be demonstrably false. Mm-hmm. So because it isn't really true, right? So I think they're happy to say that. You know, he's like, he wasn't a Mossad agent. It's like, yeah, Alan Dershowitz, we never said he was. You're answering a question I ain't asked.
Mm-hmm. The newly released files have revived a competing hypothesis. Epstein was working with Russia, not Israel. Christopher Steele, former head of MI6's Russia desk, has stated publicly that it was, quote, quite likely Epstein was recruited by Russian organized criminals. The Polish government has launched a formal investigation into that angle. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk announced the investigation on February 5th, 2026, framing the Russian intelligence question explicitly as a national security issue.
I don't need to tell you how serious the increasingly likely possibility that Russian intelligence services co-organize this operation is for the security of the Polish state.
He added that if a foreign intelligence service helped enable or exploit Epstein's operation, it could mean they
also possess compromising material against many leaders still active today.
ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm. And I think it ain't stopped either.
No, no, no. The two theories are not mutually exclusive. Intelligence historians note that assets are sometimes run by more than one service simultaneously. As Aaron Bregman, a lecturer in Israeli intelligence at King's College London, told Al Jazeera,
"It is unlikely that Epstein was not approached by the Mossad.
Whether that approach became something more operational is the question the documents raise without fully answering." So what do we think?
There's so much circumstantial evidence in the Epstein files pointing to the fact that Epstein had intelligence connections at the highest level amongst multiple different countries, including September 2018 text to Steve Bannon going into a skiff, talk tomorrow. Why was Epstein going into a skiff? We talked about skiffs when we talked about UAPs. Skiffs are not just for Department of Defense alien stuff. It's for discussing sensitive, like soundproof, super duper secret soundproof rooms that he's going in. And then Epstein came out of that and text Steve Bannon, "You would have loved my tech meeting in the skiff." And he said, "You and Barack was there. We were discussing tech stuff." So as recently as September of 2018, he was going in there meetings at high levels of the United States government with Ehud Barak with him present. Not to mention, we have emails between him and the guy who now has quit his job, the Sultan, who loved the torture video, the Sultan, that was in charge of like all shipping ports all over the country. And the Sultan asked Jeffrey Epstein regarding some other, you know, Epstein class person, famous person. He says, "Is he one of us?"
Mm-hmm.
And then Epstein says, "No, lots of drugs." Oh. And then the Sultan said, "I only do girls. Thank you for the heads up. Stay away." So I'm like,
wait,
what?
The Sultan said, I only do girls. Thank you for the heads up.
And so what is no lots of drugs? What is drugs? He does drugs instead of sex stuff, or is he one of us, like a sex pervert, or is he one of us like intelligence? Is he one of us?
Yeah. I mean, maybe both. Again, it's that like vague language that they know what they're talking about, but the regular person might not really understand.
Truly. And another one was like, "Hey, did you," an email not to the Sultan, but with regard to the Sultan, that said, "Hey, we need to get that button camera for the Sultan." So a camera that's so tiny it would fit in your butt. Why? What meeting is the Sultan going in that he's filming for Epstein, and what's it going to be used for? So there's too many emails in it that evidence a relationship, not to mention in the documents, Epstein tried to FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, request information about himself from the CIA. He did it in 1999, and got some information through his attorney. But then in 2011, post Florida conviction, he basically sent a thing that said, "I would like to see all documents related to Jeffrey Epstein that the FBI or CIA or anybody has." And then the response was not, "We've never heard of you. We don't have anything for you." The response was, "We can neither confirm nor deny that we have files about you."
Oh.
So.
Is that the answer I would get? Because
no,
most people just Google themselves, but go off.
Well, my question would be is, did something happen? So he gets convicted in 2008, 2009. Then he's got a little stank on him, right? Like, people notice there's like documents, articles. Epstein got obsessed with clearing his name. He got obsessed. He paid someone $10,000 a month to do SEO, Wikipedia edits, to make it not come up Jeffrey Epstein pedophile or pervert or whatever when you searched his name. And I wonder if when he FOIA'd that to the CIA, it was like, "Do you remember me, your friend Jeff, that you used to give information to and who has a lot of information? I just want to know, what do you all have on me?"
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's one of those where, why would he send a FOIA? And it's like, because he just wanted to be like, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Like a, remember me? Remember your old friend, Jeff? Still got your info. And also, right before he died, killed himself, was taken from the cell in one way or another, his attorneys were discussing the possibility of cooperation, that potentially strike a deal. And then he started getting real cagey about, like, "I don't want to go back there by myself. Like, I don't want to go back to the cell. I don't want to," there's a memo in there that says, like, "The defense did not make a specific proposal, but the prosecutors said that if you have a proposed resolution that you can contact us, and they said they would come up with something, and like, we can talk it out." So if that all was about to pop off and it was about to come out that he was intelligence, either you extract him so that it doesn't come out, or, I mean, that's probably what happened.
You take him out one way or the other.
I think he got taken out, which is a good transition, but
You think he got taken out permanently or just taken out of the cell and I think he was living somewhere?
Physically removed and is living somewhere.
That's because what somebody I also like that's think. Got
all that stuff wasn't in his emails. Too much of it's in his head. And you can hear him in recordings and stuff. He had stuff memorized about people and would just, I mean, he was really great at what he did. If what you want to be great at is being a fucking professional blackmailer, a professional honeypot operator.
It takes, and you know, this is by no means a compliment, but it takes a certain type of person that can keep all of that, those plates in the air without dropping them and keep all of that information. And I mean, it's like we've said, people just have two families. We're like, how could anybody even do that? That's just like so much. You have to remember to not let the other person know what you're doing. He was dealing with thousands of people that,
oh yeah,
that like that, and managed to keep it all going. So yeah, I definitely don't think he killed himself, and I don't think he was murdered either. I think he was taken out of there.
No, and I think at the end of the day, you know, the question is, was it FSB? Was it CIA? Was it Mossad? Was it, you know, it's not really clear cut in the documents what his role was technically, but it is clear how he functioned, including emails from like a billionaire in India would email Epstein and say, hey, the boss, the prime minister of India, Modi, wants your help because he's fixing to go visit US and Israel and he needs you to connect him to some people. And then it's like, okay, call me this day and time. And then later it's like, always a pleasure to chat with you. And then you see, oh, Modi had all these important meetings when he went to the US and all these important meetings when he went to Israel. And you're like, well, we can see in the email how that got set up.
But what was discussed? And he's exactly. like, that's all up here.
Mm-hmm. And like what deals got done. And so I think while he was running the honey trap and he did like having sex with young people, I think he had magical, I'm not kidding. I think he was like into weird tantra sex magic and stuff like that. But he was primarily running a financial kind of wheeler and dealer, like a fund of funds guy. Like he would take everybody's money and be like, I'm going to get money from you and invest it in this like terrible, naughty thing over here. And my banker will hide the money. And he operated above, I think, any country, any particular country, because the leadership of all these countries changes. But the people that stay in power with the money that they have and the connections that they have, they stay in power forever. Mm-hmm. And that's who he rolled with. And I think that's who he worked for.
I agree. Well, next episode, we're going to get into more of his quote unquote death, as well as there's some theories now that is not Maxwell in prison that we're seeing anymore.
And we can also discuss some references in the files where people have been sent to serve prison sentences on other people's behalf. So that's not a it's not unheard of, truly. So we'll dig into all that. And as always, if you have files or anything related to this or that or any of this stuff, send them on into us, because we will incorporate them in our notes.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you to everybody that has. Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input. We just dropped a True Crime Headlines on our Patreon dedicated entirely to the Nancy Guthrie case, since we haven't really talked about that here on the main feed. And what a heartbreaking case that is.
And still unfolding as well. So if you have any headlines on that, feel free to send it into us. And if you want to listen to it, but you don't want to sign up for a tier yet, you're not sure, go ahead and do a free trial where you can join for a week at any of the tiers. Check out all the perks, including our True Crime Headlines on Nancy Guthrie, as well as a replay of our recent live stream Q&A that we just did. And if you cancel any time before the trial is over, you won't get charged. If you stick around, do an annual membership to get 1 month free, and you get so much more.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. Just put in your email. You get immediate access to the chat, to the stream, as well as a whole backlog of bonus content just for signing up for free. As a thank you.
Yeah, come on down. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now, from happy birthdays to birth announcements to whatever. We love to celebrate with you using a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's a unique gift. And you don't have to leave your house to get it. So go to cameo.com/Sinisterhood. And get yours now. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: April Moreno,
Ava Ett,
Jory Miller,
Audrey,
Jamie Lebovic,
Faye Tall,
Emily Christensen,
Heather Lowry,
Marnie Davamiz,
and Jay House. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you all. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.